Chad Hasty Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Joining me right now, talk a little Texas and national politics, GOP strategist and co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, Matt Makowiak. Matt, good morning.
Morning, Chad. Doing great. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks for giving us a call today. Matt, let's take a look, and I know you've written a column about this, and the other co-founder of MustReadTexas.com wrote an article about this in the Austin American-Statesman about equal pay. This is something that the Democrats and Wendy Davis, they are trying desperately to make it an issue statewide, but it seems, at least to me, that it's not really gaining any steam. Is it gaining steam? Is this a winning issue at all for the Democrats?
Well, it's probably screened by winning. I mean, if you mean winning the election, no. If you mean winning some support, you know, helping the Democrats a little bit, being some margin on the margins, some momentum, I think, you know, that's probably true. But what I would say, though, is, you know, the amount of attention that, quote, equal pay has received is unbelievably disproportionate to the amount that Wendy Davis is conflicts of interest as a lawyer. She has a two-person law firm that does public bond work, which essentially is work regarding debt, right? Regarding public debt. You know, her legal work has gotten virtually no attention from the mainstream media, and I think that's two things. One is, generally speaking, I think that the mainstream media does lean left, but secondly, they want to see a competitive race, and I think that they would want to see a competitive race even if it was Wendy Davis that was up 10 points and not Abbott. And so anything that can happen to make this race more competitive, I think generally the mainstream media wants to see that. And that's why you're seeing, you know, three straight weeks of coverage over an issue that is already against federal law and is specifically outlawed in the Texas Constitution.
Yeah, I just don't – I guess among the as Rush would term them, the low information crowd, you know, this would be an issue. But for those who have been paying attention to this, really it's a non-issue in this state.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, here's the thing to understand. The Texas version of this law, I guess, passed the legislature last session, which Perry vetoed. He was asked to veto it by a number of very large retailers who felt that the law was far too broad. It had virtually no limitations for how far back you could go. Think about this circumstance. First of all, no one's against equal pay. No one that I know believes women should be paid less than men, period. So let's set that aside. The question is, what's the remedy? Right now, there's a federal remedy with the EEOC. There's the Texas Workforce Commission investigates this in Texas. The Constitution of Texas specifically outlaws it. So the question is, the Texas version of the law basically said you can go back and sue your employer almost going back as far as you want, and they can be held liable for anything that was alleged. Now what businesses do when they get sued is they almost always settle. It costs less, they don't have to pay lawyers as much, and generally they're going to, over time, save money by paying less than they might if they got a huge judgment. So for these retailers, they're going to end up paying more just to settle, even in cases where they don't think that there was any discrimination whatsoever. And so at the end of the day, the only folks who would be benefiting, or the vast benefit would be going to trial lawyers who would be going after women all over the state saying, you were paid less than your counterparts, let's sue, let's settle, I'll get you some money. And they'll take a third of every dollar that those women receive, at least perhaps more. So that's what this is about. But, you know, Democrats are one of their largest constituencies is trial lawyers. That's where they go to raise money. It's part of the base of their party. The top donors, Democratic donors in Texas, Stephen Amber Mostyn, made their fortune off wind insurance in the trial lawyer field. So that's where they're sort of their bread is buttered, and that's why they're focusing on this. This is about trial lawyers. It's not about women. They've convinced the mainstream media it is about women, but it's really about trial lawyers.
Visiting with Matt Makowiak of MustReadTexas.com, political strategist as well. And Matt, when taking a look at Wendy Davis, she's been campaigning just about everywhere but Texas. She's been hanging out in Florida. I think there was a report of that. But also, there has been some concern that you brought up her legal practice, but the fact that she's still making a little bit of money while doing that right now.
Yeah, and she said she would give up her legal work while she was running for governor, and she's not done that. And so when you're a part-time legislator in Texas, which we have a part-time legislature. You have to make a living. Nobody says that's a problem, but obviously there are going to be conflicts with any employment situation that any legislator has. And honestly, Texas's laws in that regard are fairly lax. And so, but you have to have a higher standard when you're running for governor. And, you know, Greg Abbott obviously has been in public service for a while. His record is certainly up for consideration by the voters and the mainstream media. And her record needs to be up for consideration as well. So far, she has released a list of her public sector clients. She has not released a list of her private sector clients. My guess is, if you go back and look at the folks she's represented, there are some folks on there that she does not want the voters to know about. And that could include perhaps something like Planned Parenthood or Emily's List or someone like that, or who knows who. At the end of the day, she needs to disclose that, and I think she probably will.
Mr. Matt Mikowiak, I know it's on your website right now, mustreadtexas.com. We picked up on it as well today on the morning brief, which was Dallas Morning News endorsing David Dewhurst. Not a big surprise, really.
No, they endorsed him, I think, the first time around. So in a lot of cases, these major newspapers will reiterate endorsements from the runoff. In other cases, they're going to choose from two candidates that they didn't endorse, these major newspapers. Look, I would say, having done a statewide campaign for a candidate who did not go forward, who got, you know, I think 95% of the state of the newspaper endorsements tend to not make that much of a difference in Republican primaries.
Yeah.
What makes more of a difference is some of these conservative groups, like Empower Texans and others who have scorecards, who contact voters. Those things really do matter. But sure, you're going to see, I think, probably every single newspaper in Texas endorse David Dewhurst over Dan Patrick, and I don't think the Patrick campaign is worried about it in the least.
Yeah, and I think that's true. Now, the Dallas Morning News, they point out in their article that they go through David Dewhurst's accomplishments, but they also, it sounded though, and it read as though their main beef with Dan Patrick was the rhetoric he uses about the border and immigration. You know, this Dan Patrick says that there's an invasion going on from the border. Do you buy into that this rhetoric could somehow harm Republicans going forward?
Well, that's certainly the hope of Democrats, and that's part of the reason why they recruited the Hispanic female candidate to run. I mean, their operating theory is that Patrick will be weaker than Abbott, and that perhaps if Wendy overperforms, that the Democratic lieutenant governor candidate can perhaps even overperform Wendy and perhaps make the lieutenant governor's race more competitive than the governor's race. That's their operating theory. There's two ways to look at this. One is to say that perhaps Patrick's language could turn off Hispanics and they could go to Vandepute and perhaps to Wendy Davis. I generally don't think that's likely to happen, because they're going to be voting for United States Senate at the top of the ballot. Cornyn's going to have a massive, overwhelming victory in November. They're then going to vote for governor. And we already saw Wendy's weakness with Hispanics was laid bare during the primary, where she lost 26 counties in South Texas to a candidate who did no campaigning and no voter contact, who just had a Hispanic surname. So I start with that. Now, the other thing to say about Patrick is, Patrick could actually help Abbott, and here's how. He has an ability to motivate the base that is probably the strongest of any candidate on the statewide ballot this time. He energizes our base. He understands how to communicate to base voters. So it could be that you're going to see Abbott make a major focus on trying to win Hispanic votes. He's already focused on South Texas extensively. His wife will be the first Latina First Lady of Texas if he's elected. So he's been spending a lot of time in San Antonio. It's where he did his primary election night victory. It's where he did his announcement for running for governor. So you're going to see him really focus on Hispanic votes. I think you're going to see Patrick probably focus, if he's the nominee, which I expect, on the base. And that could be a 1-2 punch that could be very effective.
Matt, before we let you go, I want to hit one national story, and that's about Jeb Bush. It seems as though every 2 to 3 months, a Jeb Bush story comes out that he might be running for president. We had that yesterday where, according to sources, they might be trying to get top donors to maybe support Jeb Bush. That's about about a story that has as many anonymous reports in it as you can get. But, it's, again, another Jeb Bush story. Do you think that Jeb Bush has a real shot, even within the Republican primary, but even above that in a general election?
Yes, and the reason I'd say yes is what we learned from 2012 was, if conservatives are not united behind one conservative candidate, we are not going to have a conservative nominee, period. And if you have Rand Paul running and Ted Cruz running and Scott Walker and others running, which I suspect you probably will, and perhaps, you know, Santorum and maybe even Huckabee. I mean, you could have four or five or six first-tier serious conservative candidates running. They're all going to, you know, basically dilute the conservative vote, and you could have a chance for a more mainstream Chamber of Commerce, if you want to call them moderate or establishment candidate, be successful. I would also say that the key here is, you know, who can beat Hillary? I mean, you know, we're all going to talk about our favorite flavor of ice cream, but at the end of the day, yeah, who can beat Hillary? And I think there's a perception among major donors that Christie's been damaged and that Jeb Bush can beat Hillary. And so that's what's going to be interesting to see. I think Jeb probably does not want to run, but I think he's thinking more seriously about it every single day because he sees there's a real opportunity.
But doesn't his last name hurt him nationally?
It does, but if he's running against Clinton, I think it doesn't, essentially, okay, right? I mean, you're going to have both folks are going to have to deal with that issue.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if someone else was the nominee, I think it'd be a different situation. But I just think a Bush-Clinton rematch hurts both of them equally.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak. Matt, tell people about MustReadTexas.com and the newsletter as well.
Yeah, MustReadTexas.com is a bipartisan, nonpartisan political website. Many of your listeners go there. We put all the top news from across Texas on that website every single day, including Sundays, and we try and do a daily email every single day as well. We have, I think, 1,600 people across Texas signed up to receive. You can sign up at MustReadTexas.com.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, thank you as always.